Our first lesson this morning comes from the book of Exodus, the 34th chapter. Let us listen to God's word. Moses came down from Mount Sinai. As he came down from the mountain with the two tablets of the covenant in his hand, Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone because he had been talking with God. When Aaron and all the Israelites saw Moses, the skin of his face was shining, and they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the leaders of the congregation returned to him, and Moses spoke with them. Afterward, all the Israelites came near, and he gave them in commandment all that the Lord had spoken to him on Mount Sinai. When Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. But whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with God, he would take the veil off until he came out. And when he came out and told the Israelites what he had been commanded, the Israelites would see the face of Moses, that the skin of his face was shining. And Moses would put a veil on his face again until he went in to speak with him.
Our second scripture reading today comes from Luke chapter 9. If you have a bulletin, we will not be reading the second paragraph, but only the first of those paragraphs today. Now, about 8 days after these things, Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly, they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to him. They appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now, Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep, but since they had stayed awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Just as they were leaving him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah," not knowing what he said. While he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were terrified as they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone, and they kept silent, and in those days told no one any of the things they had seen. The word of God for the people of God. 2 weeks ago tomorrow, on February 14, my doctor and nurse practitioner gave me a clean bill of health after my surgery back in January. I had a spot of skin cancer on my forehead that needed to be removed. Now, before the surgery, the medical staff called what was going to happen a procedure, and even told me that it wouldn't be but a few days and I'd be back at work and able to exercise again. But after three procedures to remove the skin cancer and then a major incision in my scalp to close the wound all in one day, procedure didn't quite describe what happened to me. It was a surgery. 5 weeks later, I'm grateful for the doctors and the nurses and my recovery, and I now have my very own Harry Potter scar. Interesting to me during my recovery has been the variety of ways people have responded or reacted to how I looked after my procedure. When my daughter Sophie saw the bandages around my head, she said to me, "Dad, you look like an egg." But what I noticed more was the variety of ways people responded when the bandages came off. Some people wanted to show my incision to everyone. Some people asked me how I felt and how I was recovering. Others, though, didn't want to look at me. Some were squeamish, probably even now as I talk about an incision in my scalp. But for others, they weren't squeamish so much as unwilling to see me with a wound. After all, pastors aren't supposed to get sick or have surgeries or have doubts or fill in the blank of what that might be for you. I'm here to tell you that we do, and I do. And being seen like that, like a vulnerable human being, can be uncomfortable for some. It's a relief, though, quite honestly, to be seen as I am. Our scripture readings today are about seeing two important people in the story of our faith, not as others want to see them, but as they are. Learning how to see things or people as they are and not how we want them to be is not an easy task. James Finley of the Center for Action and Contemplation tells the story of being at a retreat where the retreat leader had gathered some items from outside and gave these instructions. Pick an item and draw what you see and don't draw what you don't see. When James finished his drawing of a twig, the retreat leader looked at the twig and then at his picture and said, "Do you notice how the twig bends here? Where in your drawing does the twig do that? Why don't you start over and draw what you actually see? Don't draw what you don't see." The exercise was about learning how to see what was actually in front of James and drawing that, and then to look perhaps after that more deeply into it and possibly even see the presence of God there. But first, James had to learn how to see what was actually there instead of what he thought should be there. The Israelites in our first reading didn't want to see what or who was in front of them. Moses had been up on Mount Sinai receiving God's instructions and the two tablets of the Ten Commandments. More importantly, however, Moses had been in the presence of God. What Moses didn't know, however, is that being in the presence of God had affected his skin. The skin of his face shone because he had been talking with God. But Moses didn't know that. So when he came down the mountain, maybe appreciating the grand view, the rock structures along the way, maybe he saw some animals on the mountainside or the coming weather pattern. Whatever it was, he was oblivious to his skin tone until he met up with his brother, Aaron, and the Israelites. People can be pretty cruel sometimes with skin color. They saw Moses and how the skin of his face was shining, and they were afraid to come near him. So much so that unless he was speaking the word of God to them, Moses had to cover his face with a veil so that the people would feel more comfortable around him. It's an interesting reaction. They didn't get curious about Moses and ask him what it had been like to be in the presence of God. They didn't feel comfortable by his shining face and how it assured them that they were in the presence of God. No, his skin tone made them uncomfortable and scared. Or maybe it reminded them that God really was present with them all the time, and they weren't sure that they wanted God to see and know everything about them. Maybe it reminded them of their shortcomings and their missteps, their bad choices or thoughtless words or actions, their lack of faith. Whatever it was that bothered them, the Israelites made Moses conform to their insecurities and fears, to put a veil on and cover up God's presence in Moses. They didn't want to see Moses as he really was, and maybe not God either, for that matter. This story makes me wonder how often we do the same thing with people in our own lives and what we miss when we don't see what's actually there in front of us, the people themselves, the way they are, but rather the way we want to see them. How do we veil people to make them comfortable to us rather than seeing them as they are? When do we do what James Finley did with the stick, draw creation or people or even God the way we want to see them rather than as they are? I'm reminded of that wonderful phrase attributed to Christian theologian Irenaeus around the year 185. He is purported to have said, "The glory of God is a human being fully alive." Whether he said it or not, it's true. A human being fully alive, fully themselves, fully an expression of the image of God, truly expresses God's glory. So what is it about us that we can't or won't see human beings fully alive and be present to them in their joys and their sorrows, and God in the midst of all of that? What keeps us from being present to one another and seeing each other as we are instead of veiling each other and God in us? Our gospel reading today shows us how the disciples also had a hard time seeing Jesus for who he was and letting him be who God had called him to be. 8 days earlier, Jesus had asked his disciples who he was, and Peter made that famous statement, "You are the Christ." When Jesus told him he was right, but that Jesus was going to die rather than be a conquering hero, Peter wouldn't hear of it. In his view, the Christ, the Messiah, doesn't die. He's powerful and strong, not weak and vulnerable. Peter and the rest of the disciples didn't want to see or hear about their friend Jesus this way. They didn't want to see some bigger picture or reality about who Jesus really was and the path he was taking toward freedom and new life. And they certainly didn't want to hear how Jesus felt about his death, how scared he might be, knowing the path he was on, or how he felt about not knowing how all of it would turn out. I wonder how much they missed because they wouldn't let Jesus be himself and listen to him. 8 awkward days later, Jesus took with him Peter and John and James up on a mountain to pray. While he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. Moses and Elijah appeared, the two people who represented the law and the prophets of the Jewish faith. They were talking with Jesus about his departure, which he was about to accomplish in Jerusalem. Moses and Elijah understood what departure really meant. They too had died in mysterious ways. Moses had gone up on a mountain to see the promised land, and then when he came down, he died and was buried, and nobody knows where. Elijah was taken up into heaven on a chariot, and all that was left was his cloak, and never was he seen again. Now they were talking with Jesus about his death. We aren't told what they talked about, but the Greek word for departure could also be translated exodus, something Moses certainly knew a lot about. Perhaps Moses was helping Jesus see that his death was going to be more than the end of life. It was going to be an exodus for all people, a departure from the slavery of sin and death and into the freedom of new life in Christ and connection to God. Up to this point, Peter and James and John were so tired they could barely stay awake. But they sure woke up quickly when Jesus was transfigured and transformed right in front of them. They saw his glory, who he truly was, and the two men who stood with him. Peter was so overwhelmed, maybe even afraid, that he blurted out to Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us build a monument to remember this moment." Peter went with the easy cliche when he didn't understand. Just as he had when Jesus foretold his own death 8 days earlier, Peter didn't know what to say and just started grasping for something, some way to respond. Peter knew enough to know that this was a moment where God was especially present, but not enough to become present to it. That's when a cloud came and overshadowed them and told them that what they could not see or hear. "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." After that, they kept silent. Instead of keeping Jesus from talking about his death, they listened. Instead of talking to fill the space, they began to pay attention more intently. And in so doing, they began to see who Jesus really was, at least a little bit better. What they couldn't see that day was that Jesus needed to talk about his death because it was going to be an exodus from all that keeps us from seeing the presence of God in our lives, from all that seeks to separate us from God. They would only truly realize that good news after Easter as they thought about what happened up on that mountain. But I wonder how they were more present to Jesus as they camped up on the mountain that night and began a journey to see more deeply into life itself. The disciples didn't get all of this right away. I'm not sure that we do either. Powerful experiences like this ask us to sit with them, look at them, listen to them, see what is right in front of us, and not just what we want to see or what makes us feel good and comfortable about ourselves. Experiences like this challenge us to let God be present in them. How much do we miss because we barrel through life at our fast-paced, over-scheduled lives, we might ask? You see, you have to be willing to slow down and sit for a while before you can see things like a glowing face, a transfigured person, a human being fully alive, the presence of God. Seeing people, seeing deeply into this life takes practice. It's why I like our centering prayer time on Wednesday evenings, where we practice returning to the presence of God and how that changes the way we see our lives. James Finley puts it this way: I want to get to the hiddenness that reveals itself and touches your heart, that if you were to walk right past it, you would miss it. We're walking right past what we're looking for all the time, he says. The presence of God in us and around us. If only we would stop, look, listen, and really see. Friends, ever since Christmas, we've been on a journey through the season of Epiphany, paying attention to the many ways Jesus shows up and how God's presence is revealed to us. This week, we move to the season of Lent, a time to focus on our relationship with God and what it means to walk with Jesus. Today, Transfiguration Sunday, is a bridge between these two seasons, these two directions of our faith. As we linger for a moment on the mountaintop with Jesus and his disciples, what could you do to make some space and some time so that to slow down and look and listen for some ways God is already present in your lives? Our faith doesn't promise that life will go the way we want. The promise is that we will see God in the midst of the way life goes. That way led Jesus into amazing glory, but also to death and to the ultimate exodus out of alienation and all that separates us from God. When we stop and look, when we really see who Jesus is and follow his way, then we too can become fully alive and celebrate this life as the presence of God. Amen.